This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Earlier today, New Jersey Governor John Corzine proposed $400 million in savings and hopes to avoid layoffs through a combination of wage freezes and furloughs. In this economic environment, governments are hardly alone to grasp for solutions to reduce workforce expenses. Layoffs are the most common answer, but more and more companies are looking for alternatives, cuts in salaries and hours, or, like in New Jersey, wage freezes or unpaid furloughs, ways to keep everybody on staff but still cut costs. As we'll hear, it's got its pluses and its minuses. We'll talk with two employers who made different decisions. If your company's trying alternatives to layoffs, call and tell us how it's working for you. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Later in the program, Dawn Turner Trice on how blacks and whites hear President Obama differently. But first, we go to San Francisco to meet Maria Giudice, the CEO of a web design firm called Hot Studio. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks a lot, Neil.
And I guess, like a lot of people, you had a problem with, business was down.
Yes, actually, Hot Studio's been a company that's been in business for 12 years, so we've had several ups and downs over the years.
And in the past, well, during the dot-com bust, you resorted to layoffs.
Yes, the recession this time is a lot different than what happened in the dot-com bust, which was really fast and really sudden. So that was a strategy where you had to stop the bleeding, and we had to, unfortunately, lay off 20% of our staff and then employ a lot of creative techniques with the staff that we had in order to survive. And now with the recession that we're seeing today, a lot of those creative strategies are similar in scale, which with the ultimate goal to keep your workforce intact.
What's the difference between then and now?
What the big difference? Well, first of all, back then there was only a few segments of the society that was really affected by the dot-com bust. So it was really a bummer because there were some people who were doing well and some people who were doing poorly. This time, everybody is equally suffering, and it's you kind of can take a little strange comfort in the fact that everybody is suffering. And this time, the warning signs have been in place for quite some time. So companies now can be really strategic about how they're going to keep their workforce together.
And obviously you want to keep your workforce together because if, business picks up, then you've got the staff right there to pick up right away.
Yes, and in our business, we're a premium web design studio, so we employ the top talent in the industry, and you work really hard to get that talent in the first place, and you want to keep them in place because things eventually will turn around.
Nice to hear that optimism there, but nevertheless, if you've got top talent, how are you reducing costs? Are there wage freezes? Are there reduced hours?
Well, there's a couple of things. At the end of the year, last year, when we usually give very big bonuses at the end of the year. Well, we saw this potentially coming several months ago. So we started communicating to our employees that troubled times may or may not be ahead. We don't know. So what we do need to do is prepare, sort of like storing acorns for the winter,
mm-hmm.
or like an earthquake emergency kit in your closet. So we did not give big bonuses. We wound up giving very small bonuses so that people could actually pay for Christmas presents. And then in the beginning of the year, we froze salaries and we froze any kind of expenses that weren't essential to operating the business. And we also froze education budgets for the employees. So that was the first stage. And, you know, then we just have to hold on. And then if this recession keeps going, then the next stage would be going and cutting time. So we could ask every employee to take every other Friday off unpaid, and that will save 10% of the cost that it takes to have employees.
If you've got top talent, aren't those people going to be upset that they're making less money than other people in the same industry?
I think everybody right now is happy to have a job. And the other difference is that we are really all in this together. So my salary is being cut along with everybody else. And we all have to work as a team. this is more about working together than cutting. You know, somebody goes and somebody stays.
I suspect that helps morale too. Nobody's lost their job, but nevertheless, that's for now. If things get worse, obviously that could change.
It does. I think morale is up, and also they know, our employees know, that we're doing everything we possibly can to make sure that we're in a very good position when things do turn around. And if we ever have to go down the route of laying people off, they at least know that we've done everything possible to manage the economic issues around running a business. And they're not going to feel good about getting laid off, but they're going to know that the company has done everything possible in order to keep their job.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Maria Jude, CEO of Hot Studio, a web design firm, and she spoke to us on the line from her office in San Francisco. Well, again, if your company is trying this, whether you're the boss or one of the workers, have you had your time cut, your pay cut? Has your wages been frozen? Have you been asked to take unpaid furloughs? How's it working out? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And joining us here in Studio 3A is Stephen Greenhouse. He writes about labor and workplace issues for the New York Times. He's the author of The Big Squeeze, Tough Times for the American Worker. Nice to have you back on the program today.
Nice to be here, Neil.
And how widespread are practices like the ones that Maria Jadis was talking about?
They've become fairly widespread. You know, 2 and 3 years ago, these things really didn't exist. But with this terrible recession we've been going through, many companies are looking creatively. How do we reduce costs with that, you know, while minimizing the pain? And they can lay off 20%, 10%, 20% of the workforce, and that leaves lots of bad feelings and leaves many people angry and worried and insecure. Or you could try to spread the pain so that you're just inflicting minimal pain by, well, you know, take 12 days of furlough this year. You won't get paid for it, but at least you could spend 12 nice days at the beach. Or everyone's going to have to forego bonuses this year. Better, in theory, to forego your bonus than to have, you know, the person sitting next to you laid off.
And there's a point to that. And as Maria said, it does improve morale, at least in the short run.
I think it cuts several ways. I think when you lay off people, the 10 or 20% laid off will be very upset. If you cut everyone's pay by 2% or force people to take 3 days off when they don't want, they might be a little upset. But I think, as Maria said, people are very thankful they have jobs. I think they feel very good that everyone's pulling together, everyone's sacrificing a little. But I think some employers might say, well, let's lay off 10%. The other 90%, well, they'll be, you know, happy as a lark because they have their jobs.
That remains to be seen.
Yes, because they'll still be worried that they're going to get laid off next week.
They'll still be worried, but so are the people who are being asked to take pay cuts. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be safe either.
Yes.
So as you look at these solutions, some people also have made commitments in terms of mortgages and education bills and other things on the anticipation they're going to be making overtime or getting that big bonus at the end of the year, and this puts them in a terrible situation.
No, you're right, Neil. I mean, the good news, I think, is a lot of these measures, you know, might reduce pay, you know, 3%, 5%, 7%, but not by 10 or 20%. I think that not many people are finding, gee, I can no longer pay my mortgage, I can no longer afford my auto payments because of, having to take a furlough day once a month.
Let's get a caller on the line. This is Ronald. Ronald with us from Lansing in Michigan.
Hi. My comment is, I think a lot of employees are willing to take pay cuts, but in the case of my company, not only are we taking pay cuts, but they're reducing every service that you can think of, including pretty much gutting 401k. And a lot of us are questioning, is it really needed? You know, wasn't, you know, the massive job losses enough?
So they cut the workforce too, and also reduce pay, and also reduce contributions to your retirement plan?
Yes, and many other things, all the normal, you know, office expenses, travel, training. It's almost like it's being done under the cover that we can do it, so let's do it while it's affecting the whole country.
And are you also expected to do more work in the meantime to make up for those people who left? And well,
absolutely. I mean, you're talking 20,000 to 30,000 job cuts, so, you know, someone has to, you know, pick up that work.
And where are you working?
HP.
HP, I'm sorry, the name of the company?
Yeah, HP, Hewlett-Packard.
Oh, Hewlett-Packard, I see. All right, well, that's a huge company. So from what you're saying, morale is not great.
It's horrible.
And would you prefer, if the alternative was more layoffs and without cutting the benefits, would that be better for you?
Yeah, I think we need to, you know, focus on one pool. I mean, it's going to be, you know, workforce reduction, or it's going to be, you know, salary cuts. But when you, when you're faced with each one hit at the same time, it's, you know, it's pretty tough.
Nevertheless, those can be even tougher for those people who get laid off. Not too many jobs in Michigan these days.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Ronald, good luck.
Go ahead.
Ron, I think you raise a good and important point. I think some employers might take advantage of the situation to, you know, squeeze their workers much more than they might have to. So they'll cut not just, you know, wages, but 401ks and health benefits. And let's hope that, you know, when the economy rebounds, these employers will be, you know, quick to give you back your wage losses and restore the match in your 401k. If not, I think many people would argue that employers are taking advantage.
And are these kinds of flexible or imaginative or creative plans, are they more difficult if you've got a union shop?
Well, yes. What's happening, you started out, Neil, with Governor Corzine of New Jersey. You know, he's proposed furloughs. The union's there are opposing it, I think, because they feel that he wants to push it through unilaterally, and they say, we have a union contract, you can't do it. Now, I think some unions are very stubborn about this because they feel, union leaders often feel, well, we'd prefer to see 20% of our members laid off because the other 80% who remain on the jobs will still support the union leaders rather than have everyone take 10 or 15% pay cuts or furloughs and pay cuts, because then they'll have maybe a lot of union members angry at them. So unions, as Governor Schwarzenegger has discovered, can make your life very, very difficult.
We're talking about alternatives to layoffs, furloughs, pay cuts, shorter work weeks, and as we just heard, reduced benefits as well. If your company is trying alternatives, call and tell us how it's working for you. 800-989-8255 is the phone number. The email address is talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The last thing many companies want to do is lay off their employees. So in these tough times, many managers are getting creative to cut costs without cutting staff. In California, Governor Schwarzenegger ordered state workers to take 2 days off every month, unpaid. If your company is trying alternatives to layoffs, furloughs, pay cuts, shorter weeks, call and tell us how it's working for you. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation at our website as well. That's at npr.org. Go there and just click on Talk of the Nation. Stephen Greenhouse is with us. He covers labor and the workplace for the New York Times. He also wrote The Big Squeeze, Tough Times for the American Worker. And joining us now on the phone is Ted Bratzos. He's president of All Steel Structures Incorporated. They build and design billboard signs. He's with us on the phone from his office in South Holland, Illinois. Nice to have you on the program today.
Good afternoon, Neil.
And your program, your business, like many others, hit hard by the economic downturn. What measures have you been forced to take?
Neil, we've tried several measures. We started with putting together a plan, sitting down with all of our employees, and laying out a step-by-step plan. We set up levels, first level, second level, and third level, which we started enacting mid last year. And they included doing things like cutting some of the benefit programs. We had a clothing program to help the guys pay for winter clothing, so we cut those out. We cut out cell phone programs. We minimized them. We did a wage freeze. And we added to step by step as time went on and we saw the economy hurting our company worse and worse. We continued on. We put the hourly people down to a 32-hour work week. We had the office staff take a 10% pay cut while at the same time increasing their hours in hopes to bring in more work.
And did all of that work?
All of that helped. We were still forced eventually to do a layoff, and that was very difficult for our employees particularly, as well as hard for our management.
obviously, it's hard on everybody, but I wonder, was the effect of the layoffs better or worse for having tried other measures first?
I believe that it was better. I believe that the employees saw that we were doing everything that we could see to do, and they saw that it wasn't the first choice or first line defense to cut their jobs.
And how is morale now?
I think morale is cautiously optimistic that we've done some of the right things. We are still fighting this economy. We're still working to try to make the income balance with our expenses. But our employees see that that's what we're doing, and we're working hard to not have another layoff.
And transparency, a meeting with the workers, explaining this to them, showing them your books, essentially, that's been the key?
I think that's a very important key. I've said to other people that our employees are the key to our company, the key to our success, and the reputation that we enjoy as a quality company. And the way to keep them involved and keep them informed helps them be part of the team.
And as you look ahead in your business, do you see a turnaround ahead?
I do not see one at this time.
And might you be forced to make more layoffs?
Well, we certainly can never say it won't happen, but we are continuing to try to do everything we could think of to prevent that.
Well, we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Ted Bratsas, president of All Steel Structures Incorporated, with us from his office in South Holland, Illinois. And Stephen Greenhouse, he's in the situation I think a lot of managers are in.
It sounds to me as if Ted's tried very hard to do the right thing. He's tried to, you know, spread the pain at first by reducing cell phone incentives. And when he saw that all these little savings here and there weren't doing it, he wants to run a business that's not going to go out of business, so he had to cut costs seriously, so he laid off people. I think one of the things that's happening now is in the 1990s, we saw these huge waves of downsizing, and we saw that again early this decade with the bursting of the high-tech bubble. I think a lot of companies thought they have a lot of fat, and they thought they could get rid of their fat. But I think now, in the past few years, with this recession coming, a lot of companies felt we didn't have much fat. You know, we have a very lean, mean workforce, and we're not eager to lay off, you know, these two people or those five people. So instead of laying off people, they'd rather reduce everyone, you know, by a day a week or move people to a 35-hour, 32-hour week.
But increase, reduce pay and increase the hours for the people who aren't on an hourly salary. Yeah. That's not going to be popular over the long term.
No, I don't think that is. I don't think that many employers do that. Reduce pay and increase hours. I think that creates a big ouch factor among workers.
Let's get Steve on the line. Steve with us from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hi.
Go ahead, please.
Hi. I work for a state college here, and we've recently went through some cutbacks, as everyone else has. However, our upper management has indicated that, you know, as fiscally irresponsible as the state is, we're still going through further cutbacks. But yet, you know, we're all concerned about our raises, which are only 3%, and there's been indication that we're not going to have raises. However, there's also been indication that the upper management has already taken raises.
And that can make the people who aren't getting the raises a little bit angry.
Yeah. So we've always, you know, as career employees, we kind of count on our minuscule 3%, and it becomes very difficult when you don't receive that 3%.
Stephen Greenhouse, transparency in the last job place and this place, equity would be the argument.
Transparency and sympathy and empathy and equity. I often interview different corporate counselors, human resources experts, and they say if you're going to require your employees, if you as a manager are going to require your employees to take a 3% pay cut, you had better make sure that you as a manager also take a 3% pay cut, because if not, your employees are going to be very angry, and that's certainly going to hurt morale and perhaps productivity.
So what are you going to do, Steve?
We've experienced the same issues with you know, the loss, where other people have to pick up work, and, you know, it becomes harder and harder to even take lunch hours.
Lunch hours?
I mean, we're experiencing a heavier workload, but yet we're receiving less.
Well, we wish you good luck.
Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate
the
call. Bye-bye. This email from Mark. Years ago, we had a case where management had to make this choice. Many of the high-paid people were furious because they saw the company keeping dead wood and them paying for these people. Let's go to this email from Linda in Sacramento. I am an attorney and I work in as administrative law judge for the state of California. All state employees have taken a two-day-a-month furlough equivalent to a 10% pay cut. Additionally, about 10% of the workforce is being laid off. The pay for professionals working for the state is already about 50% less than public sector professionals. This recent cut makes hiring and retaining professional staff very difficult. And again, over the long haul, Stephen Greenhouse, this is going to make things very, very hard.
We are in an extremely serious recession, you know, the worst since the Great Depression. You know, the budget deficit numbers in California are mind-boggling, and Governor Schwarzenegger has been dealt a very tough hand, and he's trying to balance the pain, in my sense. And I sympathize for the workers and for the state employees. You know, they have to they get furloughs, they miss 2 days a month, which does mean a 10% cut in pay. And if you need that 10% to, you know, pay your mortgage or pay for your kids' college education, you're in a tough spot. But, you know, what is the governor to do? Maybe, you know, instead of laying off 10%, he should lay off 20%. I'm not saying he should, but he's trying to balance the pain, not cause too much pain for any individuals, and not have maximal layoffs that will really injure the services provided by the state.
Let's go to Sean, back to Michigan and Traverse City this time.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I have a situation where, I guess it's two ways you can look at it. I work for a very small company, and it's taken us an amount of time to get the talent that we have. So the owners of the business would much rather see everyone stay together as much as possible. So we, the owners, I should say, decided to take 10% across the board, including themselves. And that doesn't mean that layoffs aren't off the board, but the smaller company trying to retain good help and good talent, they see that, and it's a real tight-knit community where I'm working at. So as much as it's a downer to have to take a 10% cut, the benefits are to keep people there that we really need, or We have relationships that work as well as for personal.
How big is the company, Sean?
9 people.
So everybody knows everybody, and it's a kind of a family.
Yeah, it is. And there is no deadwood in our company. Everybody has a strategic point in the company. And for us to lose somebody, would be tough to cover, as well as just personally sad to see them go. So
In Michigan, not too many other job opportunities, but nevertheless, 10% pay cut, how's that affecting your life?
It's tough. I mean, I'm lucky enough that I have a wife who, her company is actually doing very, very well. And so that offsets it. But, you know, my boss has said loosely, he doesn't want to commit to anything, but if things get better, we'll go back. So it's we do what we got to do for the meantime, and hopefully this will take care of what we need to do.
Stephen Greenhouse has a question for you.
Yeah, Sean, my sense is your employer is trying to do the right thing, but what happens if he or she says, well, we have to cut labor costs another 10 or 20%, and they present the proposition, okay, everybody, will you take a further 20% pay cut, so you have a 30% cut all told, or should we lay off 2 people? I think it's not so tough to live with a 10% pay cut, but a 30% pay cut would be very severe. And I think in that situation, people will say, well, let's lay off some folks, but as long as it's not me. And I think if someone's proposing a 30% pay cut, someone would say, I'd rather be on unemployment insurance and make 50% of my pay and sit around the house and fix up my house than have to work at 30% pay reduction.
The only problem I have with that is if I was in any other state but Michigan, I might agree with you. But being Michigan, I know people that work in 3-4 jobs. So even at 30%, which, God, I don't want to even think about that, I have a great company, and I enjoy what I do, and I make a very decent wage. And even though that would hurt, and I would probably have to pick up a second job, it's all nice to say, oh, I'm going to walk away from this and get a check and sit on the couch, but then my unemployment runs out in 13, 14 weeks, and then I don't have any job.
No, you make a good point, Sean. My sense is employers have a choice. You know, do we cut people by order of 10% pay cut, or do we order people to take one day off every 2 weeks unpaid?
And just to follow up, Sean's company has 9 employees. This is more manageable, I suspect, in small companies than it is in bigger companies? Is that true, Stephen?
I would imagine generally it's easier to manage small companies than big companies. But, you know, again, I'm sure a small business owner would say, wait a second, we only have 9 employees. If we have to, order, one or two workers furloughed every day, that's going to really, really hurt. So it's hard to say exactly. But I think many employees would say, rather than a 10% pay cut, I'd rather be given one day off a week, one day off every 2 weeks unpaid.
Mm-hmm. Sean, good luck.
All right. Well, thank you.
Bye-bye. We're talking about alternatives to layoffs with Stephen Greenhouse of the New York Times. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email from Paul in Port Jefferson Station, New York. Are layoffs really worse for morale than across-the-board cutbacks, furloughs? While cutbacks can create a culture of we're in this together, this can backfire. Typically, some employees are more productive than others. If highly productive employees need to cut back along with less productive workers, they may question why these workers weren't just laid off. We've had similar comments earlier on that line. This from Nikki. She writes, my company has laid off workers, cut salaries by 5%, is not matching 401ks, and has added 16 unpaid days for the year. The difficult thing is the workload. We're all still doing 2 or 3 jobs, which promotes mediocrity. I find myself saying this is the best I can do given the amount of work and the time I have to do it. There are many mistakes, and once the economy picks up, there will be a mass exodus. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Adam. Adam with us from Durham, North Carolina.
Hi, how are you, Neil?
Good, thanks.
Well, I'm like you said, I'm in Durham, North Carolina. I'm working in an architect's office. And recently the principal has had to reduce salaries across the board by 20% for everybody. And we are also down to a 4-day work week.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's actually pretty nice to have the extra day, to, like previous caller said, to work around the house and get things done that you don't usually have time for during the week. But, yeah, 20%, it's been pretty – it's a little hard to deal with.
And is the 20% in addition to the day off?
No. It's just 20% off the total cost of your salary, total gross.
So it's an unpaid day per week, and that cuts 20% off what you would have made otherwise.
Right.
And how is that? Do you have a mortgage?
I do. Luckily, my wife is a graduate student at Duke, so we have an income from her as well. So. We're making ends meet.
One of those highly paid graduate students.
Yeah.
Well, Adam, good luck to you. We appreciate it.
Great. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. And this email we have from Dennis in Elkhart, Indiana. I work in the Elkhart area RV industry. We originally reduced our hours to 4 days at 4 days pay. Now we're 5 days at 4 days pay. Most of my associates in this industry are either doing the same or collecting unemployment. This is as good as it gets. And Stephen Greenhouse, well, that's a reality, too, for a lot of people, not just in Indiana, places like Michigan, obviously California. There are many places around the country where, boy, there just aren't a lot of alternatives.
Yeah, and Elkhart has the highest unemployment rate in the nation, over 15%. That's why President Obama went to speak there to show his sympathy. I thought the emailer from Port Jefferson, New York, had an interesting point. Is it worse to lay off people? On one hand, it might worsen morale because people will say, this place stinks. I don't want to work here. I might get laid off tomorrow. But on the other hand, seeing the guy next door being laid off might scare the bejesus out of you, and you might work twice as hard and be more productive. So I think
also in some companies, as you suggest, even though it's just a reduction in force, managers obviously try to get rid of the least productive
yes.
workers, and that can who they think are the least productive workers, and that can reassure the people who remain that they're not necessarily next on the list.
Yes. But tying back to Maria's original point when we started the show, she's very reluctant to lay off people because she thinks I have good people, I don't want to lose them. And in case business really ramps up in 6 months, she wants them to be there right when things get better.
Is it wrong to say layoffs are a long-term solution? So if you think this is going to go on for years, at least in your business, you better lay people off. If you think business is going to pick up in 6 months or 9 months or a year, maybe you want to try some of these alternatives.
I generally think that makes sense, but if you feel that you could do well as a company with long-term with everyone taking, say, a 5% hit on their pay, or people taking one furlough day a month, and you could exist on that indefinitely, fine, do it. But if you see your business dropping 20%, 30% long term, then you probably have to do some layoffs. And I'm not an advocate of layoffs, but there are economic realities.
Stephen Greenhouse, thanks very much. Stephen Greenhouse, the labor and workplace correspondent for The New York Times. His book is called The Big Squeeze, Tough Times for the American Worker. He usually joins us from New York. Nice to have him today in Studio 3A here in Washington. Up next, Dreams Deferred, Bamboozle and Hoodwink, How Blacks and Whites Hear President Obama Differently. Dawn Turner Trice will join us. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.